Welcome to another episode of Rap in Order. I'm First Class Reg.
And I'm Torian B.
How we feeling today, sir?
I'm feeling good, man. This is a good month. We just came off of Black History Month, and now we are going into Women's Month.
Women's Month, yes, for sure. And National Women's Day just passed. Everybody was trying to be like, oh, remind your mom or tell your mom you love her. And I'm like, nigga, like, I do that every day. What are you talking
about? Yeah, I tell my
mom don't even know what in the National Women's Day.
Yeah, I told my mom that, and she was like, what? They just make up anything. And I was like, Mom, you can't say that.
International Women's Month or Day has been around since, like, the 1800s.
I thought it was 1958. No, it's 1958.
Was it 1958?
Yeah, let me Google it real quick. This nigga said the 1800s. You're right. Women couldn't even vote. Women couldn't even pay bills.
Okay, Let me see. So I know it's been around.
Let me see. Women's Month. Let's see, like, when it was created.
Well, no, you're not looking up.
I'm looking up Women's Month.
Look up International Women's Day.
Okay, Women's Month was started in February of 1980.
Okay.
That's so, like, let's see Women's Day.
Not 18, but. You know, I had eight something.
No, Rez. Women weren't even allowed to pay bills.
1909. I wasn't too far off.
Reg.
1909.
Come on, Reg.
I'm like 10 years off.
And I don't even feel like that day was really acknowledged like that.
It wasn't yet. Until the boom of social media, I would say. When social media started, like, kicking
up. I don't think women was getting they just do for a very long time.
Yeah. And it's still an uphill battle, right? So, like, but it was a day to acknowledge all the great women in our lives. And if you haven't been doing that and you needed a day to validate that, you know, you probably need to rework some things in your life.
Yeah. All right. So you want to talk about music or you want to talk about some messy shit?
We can get to either or, but I was going to say, so I've been watching, well, first, I guess this kind of goes with messy shit, so I'll table that. But I recently got hooked on FanDuel.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
All right.
So, I should probably talk to Sarah about that.
Okay.
Is she on FanDuel or PrizePicks?
I don't know. I think it's FanDuel.
So it's like a weird, like, bonding thing that me and my brother been doing because he's been doing it.
Zeldin or is it?
Zeldin, okay. Of course Zeldin. So he'll send me like his picks.
Okay.
And then I'll go from there or like I'll tweak it. So I sent him a pick yesterday for the Lakers game, actually.
Mm.
And I was like, and on my picks, I had D'Lo hitting over 25. And he was like, I don't know, bro. I don't know.
LeBron didn't play last night. That was a good bet.
Yeah. And you know, D'Lo hit 44
mm-hmm.
yesterday.
I'm a Lake, I know.
So he hit me this morning like, yo, he actually did it. But so my bet, it was like a six or maybe like six, seven, like parlay. Yeah. I put in like $6, but the turnaround would have been $2,400. So I was on the edge of my fucking seat because everybody was hitting.
Right.
Everybody was hitting.
Who ruined you?
Shit, I forget this dude's name. He's a Laker.
Was it Rui?
What's his last name?
Rui Hachimura.
Yeah. So I had him for two threes. He made one. Fucked it up for me. And Austin Reeves is always, he's good with threes.
Yeah.
I checked.
Austin Reeves gets you one.
Yeah.
At least one.
Yeah. And I had him for two.
Mm-hmm.
So those two fucked it up for me. Everybody else hit.
I feel like with Rui, like Rui does these things where like he has like these great games and you're like, all right, cool. Like we got him.
And then
shit like that'll happen. Like, you know, when LeBron don't play, the team actually plays up because LeBron sucks the air out of the offense.
Yeah.
A little bit. So I get it. Like,
but I'm still a very green better guy. So
okay. Well, yeah. Just
nothing over $10. That's
yeah.
You and
Sarah could talk.
Yeah.
That's all Sarah. I'd be like, yo, just bet $100.
Yeah.
She'd be like, no.
Hell no. Yeah. I can't do that. I'll do five and I'll see the odds and I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I hit last week for like $200 off of.
I mean, Sarah's in a fucking a Discord and everything. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, I'm like, yo, you paying for a Discord? Like, mm-hmm. She's like, I need my money back. I'm like, all right.
Oh, she pays for the Discord.
Yeah, because like, you know, like she's trailing legs on people that are winning like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I found like a low key Twitter page that I went to, and he had like 300 followers. He shares his bets and they always hit. Like, I found out like a few days ago. I was like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah. Mm. Let me see.
Yeah. I actually like to sport. So I don't bet because it makes me like do things. Like one time I found myself like rooting against the Lakers.
Oh yeah. 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 Because you got money. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm not doing that. But all right. So since we're talking about NBA, Draya Mitchell announced that she is pregnant. She's 8 weeks pregnant.
Draya Michelle.
Okay. She's known from Basketball Wives. She's known, you know, for dating a lot of, I won't say a lot of athletes, but she dated quite a few athletes. And, you know, right now she's pregnant for, I think it's his third year playing the NBA, Jalen Green, who is 21 years old. And I believe like he's either a year younger or at the same age as her oldest son. So people are in an outrage. People are upset. People feel like this is grooming. This is, you know, a horrible thing. And yeah, like, I mean, I guess it can be embarrassing. The people were saying that she get into the bag, but I'm just like, technically, like, I mean, you know, all right, let's say it don't work out. She's going to get child support or whatever like that. Mm. But I mean, that don't mean that she's like, to me, like, I know some people like, yo, they get into the bag when they get that. But it's like, I mean, unless they get married, like, she ain't going to get the money. She ain't getting half.
Yeah, but she going to be better off than what she came into the situation with.
That's true. I mean, her second child is from Orlando Scandrick.
This is her third?
Yeah, this is her third kid. So her oldest son was by a guy. Like, he went to prison like when he was like a baby, and he was like a street dude. And now he lives in, I believe, Pennsylvania. He's a barber. And then her second child was by Orlando Scandrick, and now, you know, Jalen Green. So they're like, yeah, she kept climbing the ladder and shit like that. But it was like, you know, these celebrities in Hollywood, man, like, you know, it's just different things. I get morally for like us, for like the regular people, but these people are rich. Like,
yeah,
I don't like, I'm not saying that is right, but it's just like, I don't know. Like these people, like in Hollywood, they hang out with each other. Kylie Jenner and fucking Tyga, fucking Russell Simmons and a Kamora Lee Simmons. Like, I get it that people say that it's grooming and everything like that. And optically it is grooming, but like rich people, for some reason, they live different lives, man. Like they have like a different code.
I think just lately we've been exposed to so much celebrity shit
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we get a chance to just sit back and just judge it. And then it's weird to them because they just been living like this forever. And it's like, yo, y'all niggas is overreacting when this has always been like this. It's like when Quincy Jones would just tell those stories, right?
Yeah.
Cause he just figured everybody knows.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, y'all are tripping over this. This is normal.
Yeah.
That nigga was like, yeah, no. He's like, yeah, Marlon Brando was fucking everything, man.
Yeah.
So he's fucking Richard Pryor, Marvin Gaye.
Didn't he say Marlon Brando would have fucked something with a hole in it? Like, he said he
would have fucked the mailbox.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, he would have fucked the mailbox. And called it the next day or some shit. Some crazy shit.
Yeah.
But he was just talking. And I think to them, this is just the norm. And for us, it's not. So everything gets dialed up. But, you know, with grooming culture and stuff like that, you know, it's weird because the double standard gets highlighted all the time. And it's like, bro, it's a double standard. I mean, what are we going to do? We going to argue about it? I mean, is it going to not exist anymore? Like, it's just always been that way. Like, we've always seen women dating younger men and it being applauded. And then the other way around, you know, that being shunned. We see that forever.
But I think that with Draya, like, she's going way too young. I think it's one, she has a son that's the same age. Like, so it's just like, yo, like, what do you find so attractive about this? I get it, like, he's a world-class athlete and everything like that. But, like, you know, this nigga will probably be playing video games on, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's...
So that's our moral compass. What do you think her circle says?
What her circle says?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure a lot of those women, like, they want to stay as young as possible always.
Like,
so, because, all right, prime example, Bernice Burgos is dating, what's his name? My man from Jaylen Brown mm-hmm. from the Celtics. So the age group, the age difference isn't that large, but like Jaylen Brown's not 30 yet.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernice Burgos, I believe, is in her 40s now.
Yeah.
And she's a grandmother. So like the age difference, like, it's similar, but it's just that Jaylen Brown isn't 21.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like, I just think Like, for most people, they're like, 25 and up, it don't matter. Mm-hmm. But I think they look at it like, yo, he's 21. He's about to get so much money because he's about to get, like, a crazy contract. So they're just like, yo, Drea saw, like, dollar signs.
Yeah.
But also, Bernice Burgos keeps her shit crazy low. And I don't think Bernice Burgos would get pregnant. I don't think she would ruin that plastic stomach and get pregnant by Jaylen Brown.
I mean, you never know.
If you don't.
More money or whatever down the line.
But, all right, let's move on to something more positive. So Drake is on the 4 Batch remix. When I saw the guy that makes the song, I thought it was a rap song. I didn't know there was a song.
Yeah, that's his appeal. That's what he's been doing for a minute. So like, he pops up, Shiesty mask. That's like how he kind of like got big, because he went viral because he popped up with a Shiesty on and a bunch of hood niggas around him. The beat drops. Everybody's like, okay, let's see what this rap shit about. And he just comes on singing. Everybody's like, oh shit. So that's been a thing he's been toying with.
He took the Jodeci approach and added a little bit more thuggery.
Yeah, pretty much.
How you feel about the song?
I like the original. I don't think I needed Drake on the remix. I see why they got Drake. This is crazy though too, because this is this dude's third song. He hasn't been around for a minute. It's his third song. And he already got the Drake approach.
How do these guys do it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I know niggas that's on like they 500th song.
Yeah.
And Drake don't hit it.
And
he
don't bat an eye. Yeah. But I think, you know, it's probably gonna pop up, right? About him being a plant.
Something got it. Like I
third
like,
song.
Yeah, bro. Like I like ever, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's crazy.
Yeah. So like, I mean, I think he also signed a deal with OVO.
So he like signed an EP deal. He signed an EP deal, and this is the deal. The same thing that Bad Bunny did. Remember when Birdman was saying that Bad Bunny signed an OVO?
Mm.
That's what he was talking about.
Mm.
Like Bad Bunny, like they signed a single deal. So it's no different than like what like OT Genesis does with Busta Rhymes. They have single deals. That's why like we'll never get an OT Genesis.
Yeah,
like,
he
don't need one. Mm. But like, you know, shout out to OT. But I'm just saying that. Like this is what Birdman was saying, but it's like, yeah, so like technically like, yeah, like you're signed to Drake, like you have a deal because like that piece of music is always going to be on OVO, but
mm-hmm.
you're not signed to him, but you know, that's the semantics around that. So that was pretty cool. Metro and Future gave us a nice trailer. You excited?
I'm very excited.
You were excited for the toxic. Whatever that they're about to give us.
We Don't Trust You is what it's called. And it comes out
the
22nd. And then there's a second one that comes out mid-April.
Yeah.
April 12th.
I like the touch how they used the Prodigy vignette at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really dope. And that was, well, I, like my rapper brain started going somewhere because Future is very, very close to True Life. True Life, if you remember, had beef with Mobb Deep. Back in the day. So I was just like, wait a second, I'm trying to do the science.
Yeah. I think so my brain went a different direction. I feel like, do you think did Prodigy like Future?
I don't know.
And when I was listening to it, I'm like, will Prodigy even like this style of rap that Future does?
I don't know. I've seen Prodigy in the club when Future was played and he just smoked a cigarette. He's the only nigga I ever seen smoke a cigarette in the club. And like nobody bothered him, nobody stopped him or nothing.
Yeah, it's
probably. He just stood up. Like it's just crazy though, because it's like we in a club, like there's beautiful women walking around and stuff like that, and you standing in there like you watching out with somebody on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fucking weird.
I made keep it thorough.
Yeah,
y'all niggas keep it moving. But I love the trailer. I love the idea of what's to come. I've been waiting for new Future for a minute. Yeah. So that's where I'm at with it. And I know with Metro involved, it's going to be very clean cutting and concise in a concept album almost.
Do you think that we're going to get like Drake bars? You think?
You think they beefing still?
I'm not. Well, I know about. What?
Yeah, we definitely getting Drake bars.
I know about Metro and Drake, right? But apparently there's people that are saying that like Future was jealous that he was working with 21 Savage so close.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah, but so there was that, and then also there was somebody else that Drake worked with.
Like did Drake ask Future not to work with like do a full length project with Kendrick or somebody? Like, why is he so like I don't
know?
Like, why does he feel like he has ownership over collaborative projects?
Yeah, man, I really don't know, but I'm excited for this shit. I don't know how it's gonna go. I know it's going to be the talk of everything when it comes out. It's coming out at a perfect time, kicking off into spring. Yeah. We're like eight or nine days away from spring. I'm so fucking excited.
Okay.
I need it.
All right. Real quick. Who you got? Mike Tyson or Jake Paul?
We both love Mike. So like, I've been obsessing over Mike Tyson footage the past 2 days. just to like watch it again. And then getting into Jake Paul stuff. Jake Paul can fight.
He absolutely can.
He actually can. I'm just nervous for Mike. I got Mike.
I don't even know what I don't understand. Jake Paul and Logan Paul only fight exhibition fights. And I get it. Like, it's like, fuck it. Like, let's get this money, you know, fight somebody, whatever. Yeah. But like, why don't they just fight professionally? Why don't they just get into the ring and just fight professionally?
Because fighting professionally, and this is my assumption, fighting professionally, I think probably takes more discipline than they're willing to give. So they want quick bags. So it's like they can train for those quick bags. And it's a social media way of thinking. Cause it's like you can promote the shit out of it, one and done, and it's done. And then you got your next thing. Oh, okay, that's then. All right, I'm gonna train till then, and then boom, I'm off the map again. I got my big bag. Like, it's just quick.
I mean, the funny thing is like these fights don't count, so we're gonna watch them. Like, I remember I watched Mike versus Roy Jones Jr. And like you could tell that Roy was like thought it was an exhibition and Mike thought it was a real fight.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Roy was running a little bit. Yeah, he definitely was. You know, Mike still hits hard. Jake is very young, so we'll see how that goes. I have a theory that it's gonna end in some like wild fiasco at the end. It's gonna be some like huge fight at the end, and it's not gonna be like some normal shit.
Nah. You don't think it's gonna be a tie?
I think the fight's gonna be like it's just gonna get like called off. Like they're gonna fight and some shit's gonna happen and like Mike or Logan are gonna do too much and they're just gonna end the fight like that in chaos. So it's gonna get news headlines.
Yeah, I just don't want him to like seriously hurt Mike. I'm gonna be really upset. Cause then it turns into racial. It turns racial from that point for me.
Yeah, that's true. I get it. I understand it. I just think that like I think they're both in on it and I think that like it's scripted and at the end in the last round or whatever round the card is gonna be tied. And then like Mike is gonna do something like hit him after the bell or Jake is gonna give like a low blow and they're gonna stop the fight.
We'll see.
My thoughts.
I might bet on that one too.
Okay, Reg. Let's see. I got a few in here, but I can save them for other ones, right? So I'm gonna do one last one. I wanna talk about the Shannon Sharpe and Steve Stout interview. Did you see any clips or anything from?
I watched majority of it. I always tune in for Steve Stout interviews, even though he has his air to him that he's like better than everybody.
Yeah.
He maintains that air to him all the time, but it's fun to watch. What about you? What you thought?
I mean, it was a good interview. I just think that Steve's versions of certain things, like certain scenarios or whatever like that, like is very like dismissive. So it definitely could like piss like a person off. You could tell that like growing up in Queens, he knew he had to like come up with something quick because he had a smart mouth and he was going to probably get hurt really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that stood out to me was obviously when he spoke about the Rockefeller breakup, which is at this point is kind of annoying because it's like he wasn't even there. He didn't work like obviously he works closely with Jay-Z now or whatever like that. But it's like him giving like his thoughts and kind of like minimizing what Dame did. Like he gave Dame his flowers, but at the same time was like backhanded. And I just think that at this point it's just like everybody keeps saying that like Dame Dash is irrelevant or Dame Dash, you know, is on his last leg. Like everybody has all these comments, but everybody always has something to say about Dame Dash.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, like I just like I watch it and I get offended. I'm just like, oh, come on. Like again, like, you know, like I get that Dame has like his antics and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, he did help a lot of people and he is the reason for like a lot of things that like we have and enjoy now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw like how he pretty much like, you know, basically said Dame got in his own way and shit like that, I'm just like, yeah, but like, you know, it's been documented that like you were a part of that. Like, you know, you kind of like quarterbacked it. So I don't know.
Yeah. I respect Steve Stout's business mind, like, everything that all the gems he drops and like he adds a lot of he adds a lot of context to the business deals that we knew about from back then.
Yeah, he does.
Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Like the Will Smith thing with the glasses.
Yeah.
He was like, yo, Will Smith didn't even, he was like, but it's from that that I had the confidence to go into the sneaker deals and all that stuff. I thought that was cool.
I think that's cool too. Him telling that story about the Men in Black, the sunglasses, and how they was able to cut that deal. I thought that was really cool, which was, and it's crazy that nobody thought of that, right? I think that Steve Stout is like one of those people in the music industry that like is always just going to be like ahead of the curve, because like he's pretty much like the bridge to hip hop. So he's always going to be the person like being like, hey, let's get this person. And I do appreciate the fact that whenever like somebody's like on the verge, like he gives them the opportunity. He was there with LeBron. He was there with Drake. Like there's certain things that like he's there with Nas. Like there's people that he's with early on where he knows like something like he has an eye for like, yo, this person going to be one of the ones. And like, he gets on board and like does everything to like get them in position and everything like that. Like him even telling like the Kobe Bryant story and like what they were trying to do with Kobe and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's like really cool. Like Steve like knows like when something's on the horizon and like what he does. And it makes sense. Like, cause I remember before I was like, since when the fuck did Sprite become the drink of hip hop?
Yeah.
That was him.
Yeah. And just the thought process that he had with the whole Kobe thing. Cause he was like, yo, back then I figured like rappers want to be NBA players. NBA players want to be rappers. It's just merged the two. Like that's how you got Allen Iverson and Jadakiss, that commercial and Kobe rapping and, you know, all of this shit. So
I'm on a hunt for that vinyl.
Yeah, I mean,
Kobe,
you find it. I'm gonna look forward to it.
Yeah, him and Tyra Banks.
If I see it, I'll send it to you.
Thank you, sir. Him and Tyra Banks. But yes, it was just interesting. Like I enjoyed it, but it's just like sometimes be like, come on, man. And you know, obviously Dame responded, and you know, it's just this whole thing.
And he said that's why he slapped him.
Yeah, that's why he slapped him a couple years ago. I will say this though, I love the fact that everyone knows not to ask Jay-Z these questions.
Yeah, because I mean, you very rarely get Jay-Z to sit down. So it's like, you got to pick your questions carefully anyway.
That's true. But I just, it's very interesting to me. Like I would be pretty pissed off too. And the funny thing is like Dame does have interesting shit going on. Like, it's not like some people like, maybe because he ain't got, he actually does have interesting stuff going on. And like, it's just that people want to ask him that. And then like, we should just
let it go.
We should just let it go. Like breakups happen. The Beatles broke up. Fugees broke up, got back together. Like, you know, these things happen. EPMD broke up. Like, nobody, you want to know what's funny? No one, whenever people see DMC, no one ever asks them, where's Rev Run?
Yeah, no, they don't. But I think the assumption is just like, you know, shit is just good. They cool. You know, they still show up and do what they got to do. Even though at Hip Hop 50 at Yankee Stadium, they said that was going to be their last performance. They said that.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I mean, you know, things happen. I just think sometimes we just gotta let a sleeping dog lie.
You know, Hov was really classy about it, man. Cause like I was thinking about it today, just from listening to the JVP earlier, I realized like, yo, he really doesn't even talk about this, because when Lost Ones came out, that was him saying his piece.
His piece on Lost Ones. The Breakfast Club told him about it. Like he spoke about it on the Breakfast Club with Charlamagne when I think that was for the Magna Carta Holy Grail rollout.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on Juan Epstein, he talked about it. And I think that was the same press run. And he didn't have anything bad to say about Dame. He just said like, yo, like we just, you know, we grew apart. Like, you know, he just kept it at that. It was nothing bad to say about Dame. I just, you know, I think for Dame, it's just like, as friends, it's like, yo, like, talk to me. Like, what the hell is going on or whatever like that. And I think that, like, Jay has too many people around him.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that, like, the relationship that him and Dame have, and they'd rather them stay apart.
Did you see the report about Dame having, like, some debt to pay off, and they were going to take, like, his portion of Rockefeller to pay it?
Yeah.
And then Hov stepped in or something like that? Hov and Biggs?
Well, Hov tried to step in, and Dame said that, I think he declined Jay stepping in.
Of course.
And then Cameron and Mace were on that show talking about that they were possibly going to buy it, but that was cap. That's bullshit. Because it's just like, if Dame is like, you know, like who he is to them, then why don't they just give Dame the money? Mm-hmm. Opposed to them buying it and have, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, Dame is going to pay it. Like, I just think that whenever this stuff comes out in the news, is like, you know, is whenever someone has a lawsuit or things like that happen, they tell you the worst thing, and then you find out they go to court and their lawyers figure things out, and then everything is all well.
Yeah.
And with Dame, everybody just wants to say that Dame is broke because his old business partner is a billionaire.
Yeah.
And that's always just going to be the case. That's just the same thing as it's not the same, but it's like what the owner of the Clippers. The owner of the Clippers, did he help start Microsoft or did he help start Apple with Microsoft?
I think it's Microsoft.
Yeah. Like Bill Gates is like really, really rich and like famous. And the guy that helped that owns the Clippers now is also really, really rich. But like he's the one that's not talked about as much. Mm-hmm. Even though he's really, really rich.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but let's get into this episode. I just wanted to talk about some things that came up this week.
Yeah, man. So without further ado, so today we're getting into an album from a young lady that really set the trail and kind of set the standard for women in rap very early on in her career, starting in 96. Well, 96 were her debut, but earlier in the 90s, she kind of set that trail. And in 96, she made her debut with Hardcore, and Hardcore kind of set the palette for like how hip-hop, female hip-hop would be.
Yep.
And kind of reclaiming how it was looked at and sexuality and explicit lyrics and all of these things that I couldn't listen to because my mom kept me away from it just off the cover alone. And then, you know, fast forward to 2003, you know, we met her through Biggie, but in 2003, it looked a lot different for her because we met her. I mean, this was her going out on her own. This was her doing things without Big, without C's, without all the counterparts that we knew her to be around at that time. And this was a chance for her to really shine as a rapper and stand her own ground. So, of course, we're talking about Lil' Kim. And her third album, La Bella Mafia, came out March 4th, 2003. It debuted at number 5 on Billboard and was certified platinum shortly afterwards. It was led by the single The Jump Off, produced by Timbaland. Project contains features from Missy, Twista, 50, Styles P, to name a few. Some production from Kanye West, Scott Storch, Good Reads, Havoc, also to name a few. And this was a defining moment for Kim in a lot of ways. You know, like I said before, like she used this time to really show that she could define her time as an MC and stand out on her own. What did you think of this of Kim around this time?
So when this project came out, I listened to the main songs, but I didn't live with this album. So revisiting it was tough because this album sucks. And like, I was just like, damn, man. Like, Lil' Kim, I think Lil' Kim didn't stand out. Like, yeah, she stand out on her own. And in the interview, she said that like, this is the most creative freedom that she had.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the bad thing. I think that was the problem. I think the problem was, is that this project, you know, she kind of had like a lot of her own ideas, and I don't think that it worked out. I didn't work out for me. Let me not say it didn't work out for her, because I mean, she sold a bunch of records, platinum, third platinum album. But I just like this album just wasn't a good album, and it paled in comparison to Hardcore and Notorious K.I.M. Mm-hmm. If I'm measuring up against her own projects, I want to say that like off rip, there's like 4 records that I can like go back to and listen off of this album. But during this time, I believe like she was like getting like, you know, working in the studio with different people. I believe she was dating Scott Storch at this time.
Yeah,
she was trying to go more pop. And trying to, you know, she was trying to like go forward with the sound, but like it just sounded like, all right, I made a joke to myself. Every time she misses B.I.G. on this album, I should take a shot.
Yeah.
Like she really rode Biggie's coattails. And I'm just like, I get it. He discovered her. He put her on. She wants to honor him and everything like that. But it was just like, yo, come on. Like, you know, and like you could, there's a stark difference in like her rapping style. Like, I know that Kim does write, but I also know that Kim does have help. And like the people that she had around her helping her, like she should have got better writers in to help her. Like, I just wasn't impressed with this project. Like, I was very disappointed to go back and like listen to it. Cause when this album came out, I was, 12? I don't know. No, I wasn't 12. I'm lying. I'm lying.
This no, album, yeah. I was in
we were in high school.
Junior, so yeah.
Yeah, we were juniors in high school. So when this project came out, I didn't give it like a full on listen to. So I did not live with this project. I know the Jump Off was dope. I love the videos, you know, make a Sprite can disappear in the mouth and everything like that. But I just was not a fan of this album. Like, I listened to it and I was just like, she put this out and was happy.
Yeah. So when this project came out, I remember buying this the same day that I bought Street Dreams when it came out. And I really liked this project because she worked with a lot of people that I really fucked with. I mean, all these people that she worked with,
Dream Team,
had an amazing year. Like 50, Kanye produced on here.
Yeah.
Timbaland, Havoc. Like, you got production from Havoc outside of Mobb Deep. Like, it just wasn't a common ground at that time. So I was all in, and I think the project now in hindsight, it sounds a lot more dated than back then. Back then it was very much of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jump Off is a classic song. But even hearing that now, I'm like, all right. But it's a classic song. I think Kim, I was just rooting for Kim because she was standing on her own. And like, how could you not, you know, root for that? So I wanted to see what she did with it. And I just remember some of the interviews she did back then was a lot of that. It was a lot of her just talking about, you know, I mean, she got a track on here called Heavenly Father that we'll get into like at some point. But that track, that track encompasses the reason for this album. Like, she talks about being on her own, being loyal. And like, if you're familiar with Kim's history as a rapper, she talks about that a lot. And even just her career, like, she talks about just how loyal she is, and she shows it. Like, you know, she did time behind her loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, you know, revisiting it was interesting. I mean, there are some standouts on here, you know. I mean, the intro dials back right into the Biggie thing, like you just mentioned, because it's literally a Biggie snippet.
Yeah, you would be drunk if you had to take a shot.
It's literally a Biggie snippet where he's talking about how hardworking she was and how his plan was to make it to the top, open a door, and pull his other people in, and him mentioning like, yo, Kim is a hard worker, so she came through right away. And she like runs that part back, and I'm like, yeah, girl, do that. Like, you know, you got the best rapper best rapper at the time of, you know,
co-signing you.
So she leaned into that. And then we lead into Hold It Now, which is produced by Havoc.
Mm-hmm. Nice flip on the BC.
Nice flip on that shit. And she went in. I think the later half of it, where it's like the radio segment.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
We was talking about off mic who was.
Oh yeah, I think that this, you know, radio segment that she did on this album definitely inspired Queen Radio. It does bother me how Nicki Minaj pretty much erases the fact that like Lil Kim is like her main influence and goes to say Foxy. I'm gonna make this clear. When girls tell me that Foxy Brown and Eve was their favorite female rappers growing up and their inspiration, I understand, but no. Kim was Kim. Like, just because I'm trashing this album, you're not going to sit here and tell me that Kim was not the end-all, be-all before, you know, Nicki Minaj came around.
Yeah.
Like, Kim was it. She was the blueprint. She was the first.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say, like, you know, like, what iconic moment. Like, I get it. Eve did great, you know.
Yeah.
Eve did great, and so did Foxy, but neither one of them hold a fucking candle to Lil Kim.
And you know what it is? A lot of them say that because they just feel like they're the underdogs. So they got to say them because Kim is the obvious answer. But it's like, Kim is the obvious answer for a reason. Like, she's a fucking trailblazer. She started a lot of this shit.
Kim is Jordan.
Yeah. She started a lot of this shit. And we know how cliche it is for people to say Michael Jordan's the greatest. So in this case, it's the same thing. But it's for a reason.
Right.
It's for a reason. What else on here? Doing It Big. How'd you feel about that?
Shit sucks.
You weren't like doing it big? The beat was dope.
The beat was good. I wrote that. The beat is cool, but I'm just like, nope.
This song sucks.
Yeah. Another Biggie reference. Take a shot.
It's so 2000s too. When you listen to it, it doesn't scale. It's not a good representation for this album at all.
Nah, man.
And then the jokes really, really start. Can't Fuck With Queen B.
I like to flow on that.
It's a slap in the face, though, because I like it too, but it it's a sample of like one of my favorite songs by Denise Williams called Free.
Mm-hmm.
I love that fucking song. So like seeing what she did to it, and and her version is produced by Full Force, which is crazy.
Right.
For those that don't know Full Force, if you watch House Party,
the big muscular, yeah, kick your fucking ass.
Fucking ass.
Yep.
But yeah, I like what she did with it. It was a bit of a risk, but then the jokes just keep going because Hollywood skit. She got like these little kids singing, right? And then I lead in a Shake Your Bum Bum.
Yeah, that is some bum bum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shit is.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So Kim had an artist at the time called Lil Shanice.
Yeah.
And Lil Shanice, we never heard anything that she put out other than the three songs that she did with Kim. Like I went and I looked at her history as a rapper. That's it. She's only been on this album, Notorious K.I.M., and I think that's it. Like, she's only been on those two albums, but she was Kim's artist. So wherever you are, Lil Shanice, I hope you're okay. What else? Is there any standouts for you?
Song with her and Styles P is a standout.
Yes.
That song is the best song on the album, in my opinion.
Yeah?
Yeah, like I get it. I get the jump off and the magic stick or like instant, but the song with her and Styles P is the one.
Okay. I'm not mad at that. I think, let me see. What's my standout? My favorite is Came Back For You, because I still play that.
That's because she dissing motherfuckers on that?
Yeah, she talking her shit.
She fucking breezy?
The beat is crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's produced by Kanye, and it just comes on. They say, what is it that you want? It's a Minx chinchilla. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
She sounds so good on that shit. The production is so crisp. She cocky. She talking her shit.
Kanye is good to make a beef record.
Yeah, he is.
And it's very slept on that.
He do a beef record and hot his hands.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, and I remember when Kanye rapped over this beat, actually, and it was called I'll Fuck Lil' Kim.
There's an interview I heard saying, like, it's so funny when Lil' Kim talks about people because she makes everybody sound like a little kid or like a child.
Yeah,
and
she stuns everybody.
Yeah, and she was like, yeah, and Kanye kept saying, I want to sign to you. I want to be signed with you, Lil' Kim. Like, you would sign to P.I.G. and everything. And I was like, man, Kim would have Kanye fucking murdered.
Yeah. For real. But no, I Came Back For You was dope for a lot of reasons. She's talking her shit. She sounds fed up with a lot of these, women in rap. She goes at Foxy for the upteen time. She goes at Eve on here. What was the God made Adam, you should have made him, that line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, she just sounds amazing.
She does.
Like, she sounds really, really good. She talking her shit, like, from the top of a mountain. It's great. Magic Stick. There's a lot to say about that one. So I remember when Magic Stick came out, and it was big on the radio back in Detroit, and they were playing it on the radio over
50
here.
50 Cent, yeah, they were. I was between here and Atlanta. They it was getting played everywhere, but I can't, like, 50 Cent has given away.
Mm-hmm. He gave this away.
If 50 Cent would have been selfish, yo, he would have two classic albums back to back.
And at this time, they will play this and they will play his remix to Work It with Missy. Mm-hmm. They will play that back to back on the radio. But Magic Stick was interesting because I don't know what it was, but 50 and Kim had like a fallout.
Yeah, there was like a dumb falling out. Like, it was, and I want to say it was over the video, like 50 won a certain amount of money or some shit like that, like some dumb shit. And then like they reconciled, and then like he talked about her daughter. Like, and it's like, yo, my man, like,
yeah. It was a lot of shit. And then I remember she performed at the BET Awards. And it was so awkward because she did the jump off, but then she switched to Magic Stick and 50 didn't come out. And she was like, you know, 50 couldn't be here, but we rocking. And 50, I remember this distinctly because 50 was in the crowd. He was in the crowd.
I don't really
like, 50 is at this award show. Like, why is he not? And she was like, yeah, 50 couldn't be here, but, and the camera didn't pan over to 50, but he was 100% there because I think he like presented later that day. It was weird. But like, I wanted this song to be bigger for them, and it could have been, especially with a video.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what 50 has against Lil' Kim, but like he's very mean to her.
Yeah, he is. And what else is a mess on here? Oh, this is a warning. It remakes the R. Kelly.
Yo, bro, like.
And she's singing.
Yeah, I know. She talked about that. She was like how like she wanted to sing more on these projects, mm-hmm. you know, and everything. I just think that she had created like, all right, third album in, like she already proved herself with the first two. She's just doing whatever she wants. And like, I just think it was just all bad ideas. Mm-hmm. I think that her not letting Puff executive produce this album was a mistake.
Yeah, she had stepped away from Puff at the time.
Yeah, like I just think that was a mistake. And I think that she kind of like was kind of all over the place. And she just did not. She didn't like do a good job. Like Missy is one of her best friends. Like why not work with Missy mm-hmm. on this album if you want to sing?
Yeah, and Missy was on. Yeah, that's a good call out. Missy's on "Can You Hear Me Now?" and she only does the chorus. I actually wrote in my notes like, "Yo, Missy could have added a verse and made this song
Missy
way better."
I think Missy, if she didn't want to work with Puff, she could have worked with Missy and let Missy executive produce this album. And I think it would have went on a way better journey. I just think that like him was trying to like make hits. Opposed to like making an album,
mm-hmm.
like she was just trying to make hits and like get shit out there, and like it just didn't work. Like it seemed like mm. like whatever she was trying to get across on this project, like it went over my head.
Yeah, and like, I think even outside of her trying to make hits, I think she just was trying to prove mostly that she can stand on her own.
Yeah, she could, but it's like, all right, the album is La Bella Mafia. Why is there no mafia to the project? Why are you not talking to, like, you know, why are you not giving us, why are the skits not like mobster skits, mm-hmm. like, you know, it just didn't make sense. It's just
a name.
Yeah.
It's dead ass just a name and a cover.
Yeah.
Cover is hard. I always love the cover of the album. The cover is dope, but there's nothing that plays into this name on the album. There's nothing that continues her legacy. It's kind of just records, you know?
Yeah, man. Like, I just, you know, I forgot. What song was it that she had a song? There's a song where she's talking about like all like her like luxurious things, whatever, like that.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of the songs, but
is that the Beehive one?
I think that is Beehive.
Yeah, like Beehive. Like the beat is dope, but I'm just like, this is all I'm saying. I was like, you know, like, and you wanna know what's funny? At this time, she was cool with John Gotti's daughter. She could have got John Gotti's daughter to open the album
mm-hmm.
and talk about, you know, family and loyalty and shit like that. It's so much shit that she could have did, and like nobody around her told her this shit.
Yeah, she shouts out Versace and all and everything. Like
she could have like,
yeah.
I feel like she didn't dive into it enough. Like, Donatella Versace is, like, her friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? She's friends with fucking, whatever her name is, Gloria Gotti or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, John Gotti's daughter.
You know what's like, crazy? Like, she, a lot of the shit that, like, Rick Ross wishes he had the type of clubs that she had. Like, because he dials up that lifestyle.
Yeah.
In such a crazy way. And Kim actually has these connects.
Yeah. All of them, Rachel Cavalli, like yeah. all of these designers, they love
Little Kim.
Yeah.
And she has these authentic connections, and I think that's probably it too, right? That she has these authentic connections, she don't want to ask them for favors.
Yeah, it's probably like, I get it, like, you know, when you're actually friends with some people or whatever like that, like, you know, you kind of just do your own thing. It's like, the world's separate, like, we're actually friends, so, mm-hmm. you know, I get it, but
yeah.
I just feel like there was a lot of missed opportunity on this project.
I think so.
I think that this album could have been incredible. I just think it wasn't as concentrated as she needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the team around her should have spoke up and like yeah. stepped in, because it could have been a lot better on yeah. it. But this album was hard to get through for me.
Yeah.
Compared to Hardcore that I can just listen to,
mm-hmm.
like that. Like that's my beef. Like I'm not saying like, oh, this is the worst female rapper album of all time. It's just that, like, for her standard, this album was fucking shit.
Yeah. But she's had, so Kim has had an interesting career, right? Because I think she's one of those artists that her legacy is bigger than her music. Because as an icon, like, we know when people think of Kim, there's a lot of different things that they connected to. And sometimes the music isn't the first thing. So it's like, you'll think about Chanel, or you'll think about the Crush on You video, or you'll think about Biggie, or you'll think about fashion, her just walking the runway, or her titty being out at the awards. Like, she has so many iconic moments, and then there's the music. Sometimes the music is secondary. I feel like there's a lot of Lil' Kim fans that don't even think about this album. A lot of them just still talk about Hardcore.
as they should.
Yeah.
I like to
only think about this album. They don't think about Notorious K.I.M., even though that one has some really, really big songs on there for her.
Notorious K.I.M. was that shit.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, she has an interesting legacy because she's impacted so many. That's probably another thing, too. Like, her legacy has felt different because we see how it's inspired generations.
You know? Yeah, no, like she is the blueprint.
Yeah.
She is the blueprint. Like before that, it was MC Light and Queen Latifah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and obviously there were more female rappers, but I'm just saying like those were like the
ones pillars. That were the blue. Yeah. They were the blueprint for a different time, different type of female MC.
Right. It wasn't it wasn't about showing body and sex and everything.
And Kim was like, yo, fuck it. Like, I can be intelligent, I can be flashy, I can be fly, and you still gonna respect me because I'm a be in charge of it. That shit is fly. You wanna get to the rating?
I give it 2 waffles out of 5.
Okay.
Disappointed? Yeah, I was disappointed because like I said, I didn't really live with this album. So going back, I'm like, oh, well, Kim don't miss, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. I don't know why, because I didn't live with this album, but I lived with The Naked Truth. And The Naked Truth made The Naked Truth is bad, but The Naked Truth made sense because it was her going to prison.
Bad?
It was her going to jail album. Well, compared to her other catalog.
Okay.
Like The Naked Truth is like her third best album.
Naked Truth got 5 mics in The Source. I remember that.
She paid for that.
You think so?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's like a huge controversy.
Really?
Yeah.
So
that was truthfully like the downfall fall of people not fucking with The Source.
At the time, I remember because Benzino was still at The Source.
Yeah.
I remember it being, or at least all this time, I thought about it being the fact that she was going away and it was like an honorary, like one of those, like, yeah, you're going away. We fuck with you. 5 mics. But I remember when it getting 5 mics, I was like, oh, I got to hear this. And I went on LimeWire and I downloaded it.
I bought it.
Yeah. I downloaded it. I listened to it. Lighters Up was big. But I listened to the album and I remember enjoying it. I just don't remember thinking it was 5 mics worthy. But she had
it. Wasn't.
Yeah. She had some good songs on there.
It's so mad.
Yeah. I was like, damn.
That was when Payola for things like that started becoming prominent and people started talking about it. Because people was like, ain't no way in fucking hell that this project. Because you got to think about how many projects that came out that didn't get 5 mics. And like on the first go around, like they actually had to go back and like apologize.
So
College Dropout didn't get 5 mics.
That's so interesting.
Did
they get 4?
I think it got like 4. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, The Naked Truth got 5 mics off the first listen. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I did.
Damn, and it was 22 songs.
Yeah, 22 songs. Like, I enjoyed that album, but that's what I'm saying. The Naked Truth made more sense because it was addressing things that she was going through and it worked for her versus the La Bella Mafia that I'm big. Like, if you give a project a specific name, I kind of wanted to touch on that.
On that a little
bit. Yeah, like she just named it the La Bella Mafia and had nothing to do with the fucking mafia.
Yeah, just cause.
Like nothing. And I know La Bella Mafia was her new crew. It was like the female leg of the Junior Mafia. I understood what it was, but like it didn't tell me shit about the La Bella Mafia.
And you wasn't launching new artists on here. You just had Lil Shanice.
Yeah. So that was just like my thing. Like that was my beef. But what's your rating?
I'm a rock with a 2.5. I think Kim.
Reg gotta go to Brooklyn again.
I think Kim. I'm gonna go to 2.5. I think there are some highlights on here. So the songs that I like, I really enjoy. Like I already mentioned, Came Back For You. Heavenly Father, if you don't take anything else away from this album, like and you don't wanna do like the singles, I would say Heavenly Father gives you a really good synopsis of what this whole album is supposed to be. Like, even just the existence of this album, you listen to a song like Heavenly Father and it'll give you that because she talks a lot about the breakup. She gave you 5 verses on that shit. She talks about the breakup of, you know, Junior Mafia and how she tried to hold it down. Like, she really goes in depth, like, and I like shit like that. But there are some songs on here that I really like, but for the most part, it's a lot of skippable shit. And it's like, if you're trying to prove that you can stand on your own, it's too many jokey songs on here that just don't need to be here.
There's 13 bad songs on this, right?
It's out of 16. Holy shit. Yeah, I think you might be on par though. But there's some songs on here that I really liked, you know. But unfortunately, it's not a good representation of Kim's legacy. I mean, Jump Off is great for her legacy, you know. And there's some other moments on here, but it's far and in between. You know, if you want to get a very good synopsis of Kim as a rapper, this is an album that you can skip. But, you know, for your own frame of mind, revisit it. Let us know what you think. I'm First Class Reg.
I'm Torian B.
We're out of here.
Catch you guys next time.
Give me your fucking money! Dun dun.